You're listening to Business Lunch with Roland Fraser.
This is your seat at the table. Welcome to the show. This is producer Darren Clark, and we are celebrating 200 episodes as of this moment, and we're going strong. So we've covered some serious ground, so we thought it would be fun today to look up and share a few of the episodes that seem to spike and strike a chord. All right, friends, let's hear it. Most listened to episode number one was episode 114 with Ray Sin Lau on affiliate marketing and a rapid acceleration to an eight-figure business. Yep, he was a coder that went all in on affiliate marketing, and this was his first podcast appearance ever.
So I made $2, and then I was like, man, I'm quitting. I remember just like hanging out in like the lunch area, and like I was like, I'm quitting. They're like, what? I was like, I made $2.
It works, is that thing, right?
I was like, it works.
It's so exciting. Even though it's $2, it's like opens your brain cells to this is actually possible.
Yeah, because in my head, I mean, I'm not like the smartest dude or whatever, I guess, but I was just like, all right, I can make $20 or like $200 or even like $20,000 or like $2 million in my sleep if I can make $2.
Yeah, it's just a scale issue, right?
Yeah. So then pretty much I just quit my job and then just went full time into it.
That's so cool. Was your wife freaked out?
Oh, she
about
was
that?
Freaked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, I got this.
She was totally freaked. I mean, I didn't even know if I had it or not. I was just like, let's go.
So check out the show notes for that link or find the episode on your go-to podcast player. All right. Hot episode number two was Rachel Peterson on social media strategies, getting attention and withstanding the pressure. She talks about attention, how to get it, sustain it, monetize it, and respect it.
This process I've gone through since I was 19 years old, where on social media, any person that I want to connect with, I'll find a way, find a path. So for example, I'll read a book, Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss, a month ago. And I just wanted to talk to him so badly because this book just deeply impacted me. And so I start this process of multiple touch points. You basically have this concept that you have to hone in on called, I want everyone to see my name and my face. Mm-hmm. That's literally what I say all the time. I want everyone to see my name and my face. And once they see it several times across several social media platforms, you feel familiar. Then you can start reaching out and building a relationship. And then finally, going in for the ask.
Okay. And how do you do that? How do you, let's use Chris as an example. You could have also just asked me because I would have introduced you. but let's use that as an example. So you wanted to meet him. Did you meet him?
I met him over Zoom.
Okay.
So I was able to interview him for my podcast. And now we talk almost every single week. I think he's amazing.
He's a super cool guy.
Oh, so talented, so nice, so down to earth. But what I did is first I started tagging things about him in my stories. And I think that's really important. A lot of times people think that to get someone else's attention, you have to brag on yourself. Mm-hmm. But every person loves hearing their own accomplishments. Mm-hmm. And his book, it moved me and it changed the way that I negotiate. So I started sharing quotes from it every single time that I was reading a section at the gym. And I started sharing it with my network. And then anytime someone shared that they were reading it, I would take a screenshot and share it with Chris and say, look, my followers are reading now because this book is so great.
Nice.
And I can't stop talking about it. And then the final outreach went on Twitter.
Okay. I love that. I love that as a strategy to start sharing things about them and tagging them and having them go, this is happening a lot. I should probably pay attention to this person.
Exactly. And
that's kinda cool.
What was interesting is a lot of people might use that for, I guess, evil or whatever, for their own motives. But for me, it's been incredible because I've been able to connect with the people who inspire me. Mm-hmm. And without even meaning to get something from it, incredible relationships and opportunities have formed.
So one of our favorite takeaways from that show was, quote, so many people are broadcasting, they're not conversing. There's something so powerful about replying to a comment and engaging, end quote, Rachel Peterson. All right, hot episode number three. Now, this one was one that I thought most people would miss because we aired it on Christmas Day. But I guess our listeners are diehards because it turned out to be one of our most listened to episodes. Episode 118 with Andre Norman talking about transformation. So Andre tells his amazing story about going from maximum security prison to speaking at the White House. He is all about interrupting the funnel of criminality, which I think we can all get on board with. And you'll hear he has some great insight on leadership and so much more.
The summarized version of my life, grew up in the inner city of Boston. Mom went through domestic violence, kicked dad out, went through the busing crisis of Boston. I used to get stoned on buses. throwing rocks at, names, came through that, realized middle school, didn't do well, didn't fit in, drifted to the streets. I'm the classic single mom, six kids. I'm the one who fell through the cracks. Mm-hmm. I wind up and get in trouble. I wind up in court. I get sentenced to a bunch of time and sent to a maximum security penitentiary at 18. I get there. I'm super nervous. And gang recruits me. And they said, I think it's best that you be with us. It was either kind of be with the gang or be on my own. And being on your own in a maximum security penitentiary at 18 isn't a good idea. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If anybody should ever find themselves there. And I hung out with the gang for 6 years. And I raised my status in the gang. I became the third-ranking gang member in the state mm-hmm. through attrition and a lot of work. And I thought I was winning. I thought I had achieved my dream of being one of the top gang leaders in the state. And I realized I was just the king of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I had an epiphany. I turned my life around. I wanted to go to home and be successful. So I picked a school called Harvard University as my destination. You always need a destination point.
Yeah.
Taught myself to read, got my GED, went to counseling because I had a slight anger management problem. I just kept working every day, taught myself the law, reversed the case on appeal. It took 8 years of working 20 hours a day to get myself out of prison. And I got out in 1999, roughly 19 and a half years ago. I've worked at Harvard Law School. I've worked at the White House. I've worked at London Business School. I've worked with YPO. I've worked with EO. I've worked with Genius Network. I'm now here at War Room. I've worked with COO Alliance. I've worked with so many companies I can't keep track of because I made up my mind to be successful and I wasn't going to stop.
All right, last but not least, hot episode number 4 is from our very fine host himself, Roland Frazier. This episode was part 1, and I'm going to actually play the whole episode for you because it's just that good. So links to these episodes can be found in the show notes if you scroll down on your phone, or you can head over to businesslunchpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening.
The long or the short? Which receives more of your attention and efforts, building your income or building your wealth? When I ask people this question, most fall into one of three categories. One, they focus on creating as much as income as possible in the short term, and they don't really think that much about wealth in the long term. Two, they focus on creating as much wealth as possible in the long term, and they don't really think that much about income in the short term. Or three, they focus on creating both income for the short term and on building wealth for the long term. The third category, unfortunately, is quite rare and makes up the smallest group of people that I meet in my travels. The short. Focus on income in the short term. Most of us have learned that the most important thing to focus on is increasing our income. After all, if you don't have enough to pay your bills, things can get nasty pretty quick. On the other hand, if you have a substantial income, you can pretty much have anything that you like, especially now in the sharing economy. You can rent Lambos, you can have Rolls Royces through Turo, you can get beachfront mansions through Airbnb and VRBO, you can fly almost private on jets with JetSmarter and services like that. More and more people are opting for a lifestyle based on what they can afford to rent versus what they can afford to own. There's nothing wrong with that, but over the past few generations, the amount that we spend on rent has crept steadily upwards. It was 36% of income for baby boomers, 41% for Gen Xers, and now we're approaching 50% for Gen Z, according to a study from Rent Cafe. So you scheme and you plan and you work and you struggle to create as much income as possible, whether through a traditional job or by starting and working in your own business, or whatever it takes to create the income that you need to live the lifestyle that you desire. However, if you're primarily focused on income, particularly income from your efforts, then it's really easy to get stuck on the dancing bear hamster wheel. As long as you can work or dance, then those that you work for and to whom your efforts provide value will continue to throw money at you, which will continue your income. And if you can dance even better and in ways that provide even more value, then they'll throw even more money. But whenever you're no longer able to or willing to dance, then the money stops too and your income is gone. And that's particularly seductive, and it's an insidious trap for high-income earners like coaches, consultants, authors, experts, speakers, employees, even from mid-level all the way up to the C-suite. Professionals like attorneys, doctors, chiropractors, dentists, surgeons, architects, accountants, all of these professional services, because when the dancing stops, the money stops with it, and then it's time to face the music. There's frequently no wealth to fall back on, and you're either forced to start dancing again or forced to substantially lower your standard of living. If you're lucky, you might have accidentally created a business that can be sold, but most employees never receive substantial equity that accumulates any real value in the businesses they work in, except for perhaps tech unicorns like Apple or Google or Dell. And most business owners of dancing bear type businesses, those professional and service businesses I mentioned, they never create a business that anyone would want to buy. Because without the dancing bear themselves, the business has little or no value. And the dancing bear is the person who gets compensated. So if you sell the business, then it needs a new bear to dance, right? So the person that's buying it then is dancing and they're going to be receiving the salary. So they're effectively just buying a job. And the focus in all of these situations I'm talking about to focus on income. So it's great while it's coming in, but it's not so great when it stops. If you fall into this category with a focus on income, then you might be well served by thinking also about beginning to focus on the long or building wealth in addition to your income. Without the long, you're going to face some pretty tough decisions when the short begins to dry up, and eventually it will historically dry up for most people. So let's talk about the long. Focus on wealth for the long term. Those that have lived through severe recessions or depressions are usually much more focused on building wealth than income. They believe in sacrificing short-term niceties in exchange for the security of weather the storm wealth. And similarly, many entrepreneurs find themselves always reinvesting their income into their businesses with the intention of growing them and someday cashing out for big payday. And the philosophy here is that you're going to play the long game and invest for the future while deferring short-term desires that income could otherwise be deployed to satisfy. And people who sell physical things are particularly affected by this as they purchase inventory, they sell it, then they have to purchase even more inventory while their business is growing. They have to buy more media to sell the new and larger amounts of inventory. And then they even have to hire more people to help them run their businesses and manage increased inventory, increased operations, and customer service and increased media. So it's another kind of hamster wheel. So anybody that's owned a selling physical things business is all too familiar with that challenge. Even if you don't have the need to continually invest in your business to build its growth and value selling physical things, most entrepreneurs find themselves constantly investing in capital expenses, labor, media, etc., just to increase the overall value of their business. Those without businesses who are focused on building wealth might do that through investments in stocks, whether managed by professionals or doing their own trading, real estate, purchasing collectibles, buying other businesses, or something else. And they're focused on wealth or the long, but they frequently do that to the detriment of the short, which can leave them starved for the income they need to support themselves in their current lifestyle or the income that they need to support their long game focus. So I can't count how many very land rich or asset rich friends and acquaintances I've known over the years that got into financial trouble because they were too heavily focused on the long and they ran out of the income needed to support their wealth building. And also, speaking as someone who's faced major personal challenges and setbacks myself, and with a spouse who several years ago faced major medical challenges that threatened to prematurely end her life, I can tell you there's also the chance that the long game you're playing just might never have a chance to play out. That is, life may have other plans for you. So if you focus exclusively on saving up for a rainy day that you never even get to see, then you're going to miss out on a lot of life in the meantime. This leads us to the long and the short. So the solution here is pretty simple, really. You can have it all, the amazing lifestyle offered by the short and future income replacement security offered by the long. You just have to focus on the long and the short at the same time. Similarly to a golfer that must master driver and irons, long game tools, to move the ball from the tee box down to the fairway towards the putting green, and then have to master their wedges and putter, the short game tools, to sink the ball in the hole, you too must master the long and the short to fully maximize your financial life and provide everything that you want throughout your life, no matter how long or short or challenged or not it may be. To be wealthy and ready for retirement, if you choose to retire, or prepared for a drop in income if you can no longer work to earn that income, you'll want to have actual wealth assets that you can look to for support. They can support you either by selling them off strategically to generate cash flow or to generate passive income that is not from your dancing bear efforts. To be prepared for downturns in the economy and potentially falling asset values in difficult economic times, and to provide you with the income you need to continue to support your lifestyle and assets, you also need to focus on generating income for the short. The happy solution is to have both short game income and long game wealth assets. Sadly, that's not the norm. That is the exception for people much more frequently than it is the rule. I know lots of people that make $100,000, $500,000, even a million or more a year that don't have wealth assets. So even though they have an amazing lifestyle, and there's nothing wrong with this as long as they can continue to generate that income, but they might find themselves in challenging times if they can't be a dancing bear any longer and the music stops. So I know many people who get into financial trouble and they end up having to have to sell their wealth assets at deep discounts to raise cash in tough times because they don't have enough income from the short game to support those assets. They were focused too much on the long. You need to balance the long and the short. And to do that, it makes sense to put together a strategy for income creation and sustainability coupled with a wealth asset growth plan. This is part one of that to discussion to give you the overview. And in my next few thoughts, I will cover specific long and short strategies that I've found to be the most effective with step-by-step breakdowns for each. So let me know what you think of this. I would love to hear from you and share if you find this helpful.
You've been listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. If you're enjoying the show, let us know by subscribing and leaving a review. And for more information, go to businesslunchpodcast.com. Thank you for listening.
What if 3 days could change the course of your business in 2023? Get Scalable Live is where you'll gain great clarity on the next steps that will help you create the business, life, and wealth you deserve. Connect with business owners and entrepreneurs just like you, hungry for advice, proven strategies, and necessary connections to grow a business.
Literally, million-dollar conversations are happening in the hallways, in the bathrooms, across tables.
Get Scalable Live at Fairmont Austin, November 2nd through 4th. Tickets are on sale now at GetScalableLive.com.